Now, I told y'all that after I got back from sabbatical, I have a lot of stories about St. Francis, and I have one for you today. But before I tell you the story about St. Francis, I need to tell you another story first. And it is an even older story from the earliest centuries of the church, from one of the early desert mothers, the holy women who lived out in the deserts of Egypt in the 4th and 5th centuries. Amma Theodora was a wise and faithful person who women and men sought after, traveling far out into the desert to seek for spiritual guidance. And among the handful of stories that have come down to us, 1700 years later, there is one in particular that I've always loved. I want to share with you today. Amma Theodora told about a hermit who was able to banish demons. The hermit asked the demons, "What makes you go away? Is it fasting?" And they replied, "We do not eat or drink." "Is it vigils then?" And they replied, "We do not sleep." "Then what power sends you away?" And the demons replied, "Nothing can overcome us except humility alone." Amma Theodora then asks, "Do you see how humility is victorious even over the demons? Neither asceticism, nor vigils, nor any other kind of suffering are able to save. Humility only." Which brings me to that story about St. Francis. One day, St. Francis was praying alone in his cell in the little hermitage of Portiuncula. And if you want to hear more about the Portiuncula, come to my presentation after. And while he was in his little cell praying, he had a vision of a great army of devils gathered and circling around the perimeter of the little community of brothers, trying to gain entrance, but unable to do so because of the discipline and devotion of the brothers. And so they just lurked there around the perimeter and at the entrance, waiting for an opportune moment. Well, it just so happened that in the days after Francis had this vision, one of the brothers became offended by something one of the other brothers had said or done. And he slowly began to stew on his anger. And as his resentment festered, he began scheming of ways to revenge the slight, using his free time, such as it was, to devise plans of vengeance. And so, the devil lurking at the doorway of the Portiuncula was able to climb atop his back and enter in. Now Francis, ever the watchful shepherd, noticed that this wolf had gained entry and was now prowling the grounds, snarling and snaring at sheep ready to devour. At once, Francis called this brother and asked him to share about the festering hatred that was within him, that had caused so quickly so much dissension and division in the small community. The brother, immediately surprised and frightened that Francis seemed to have a way of seeing into his soul, disclosed to him all of the venom and malice that he had been feeling and preparing to act upon, all the stuff that had been churning within him, acknowledging his fault and humbly asking for forgiveness. Francis lovingly absolved this humbled brother, and immediately, and before their very faces, that devil fled from their presence. "What makes you go away?" The hermit asked the demons. "Nothing can overcome us," the demons replied, "except humility alone." All of the great spiritual masters down through the ages echo this teaching. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, a great 12th century French Cistercian saint and abbot, was once asked to name the four cardinal virtues of truly holy living. Now, the four traditional philosophical virtues are prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. But in response to this question, Saint Bernard said the four cardinal virtues are humility, 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 and humility. Saint Teresa of Avila said that the only sure test of oneness with God is growth in love and humility. If our primary calling as the people of God is to love others as Christ loves them, then humility is the spiritual practice that makes such love as that possible. Humility, from the Latin humilitas, which derives from the word humus, which all my gardeners know right away. It's why humble people are so often referred to as being grounded. Humility isn't thinking less of ourselves, but thinking less about ourselves. Humility is a mindset, or rather, a soul set, that leads us to consider others first, to speak less and to listen more, to admit when we are wrong, to give people the benefit of the doubt, to worry more about the plank in our own eye, as Jesus teaches, than all the little tiny splinters in other people's eyes. When I think about the people in my life whom I have known, who were self-evidently holy, who being in their presence was palpably like being in the presence of God, what they all have in common, as diverse as they are, is that they were all humble. Now, the Apostle Paul knew this. He knew that holiness requires humility, which means that without humility, no matter how many prayers we might toss up, how often we might go to church, how frequently we tell others about Jesus, we will always fall short of truly holy lives. Which is why, when word of the struggles of that early Christian church in Corinth traveled hundreds of miles across the Aegean Sea to the city of Ephesus, where Paul was hanging out at that time, and he learned of what was going on there, he knew immediately what he needed to say to them. You see, the Corinthians were an absolute mess. They were dealing with jealousies and squabbles and pettiness and tribalism. I belong to Cephas. Well, I belong to Apollos. Yeah, well, I belong to Paul. There, mic drop. And the tribes of Corinth weren't just all about who they belonged to. They were also sorted out in all kinds of economic tribes as well. Rich and poor, haves and have-nots, divided and petty and bitter. Resentments were everywhere, riding like devils on the backs of so many of the Christians in Corinth that if Saint Francis himself had been there, there wouldn't have been one person to confront, but a whole entire broken community awash in strife. Now, the majority of 1 Corinthians, which is actually probably several letters put together into one, because he had to write to them a lot, y'all. They took some help. The whole of 1 Corinthians actually boils down to pretty much three things. The first thing Paul says, which we heard, if you remember, from last week, it's kind of how he opens the letter, getting right to the point, is that, hey, you, Corinthians, you are called to be saints, together with all those in every place who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are called to be saints, he says. Start acting like it. Sounds like a parent, doesn't he? Second, and very much related to the first, Paul then implores them, and this is where today's passage begins, implores them to get over their divisions, to be united in the same mind and behind the same purpose. Come on, y'all. You are members of the same body. You are members of the body of Christ. Get it together. And then finally, at the end of this passage that we heard today and leading off into next week's, he reminds them that the way to act like saints and the way to get all over all of their sad and bitter and petty divisions is to follow the surprising, upside down, seemingly foolish message of the cross. The cross, Paul says, is our heart, it is our core, it is our centerpiece. And in it, we glimpse the very sort of life to which we are all called. A life of sacrifice, a life of self-emptying, a life of loving others by surrendering ourselves. In a word, the foolish message of the cross is a call to a life of humility. Paul, you see, he knew that just telling them to, I don't know, go to church more wouldn't solve their problems. Telling them to just talk more about Jesus, conduct more fasts, hold more vigils, be greater ascetics. None of that would matter, Paul knew, until and unless they first understood the call to humility. Because the only true, real, time-tested, enduring weapon for fighting against the demons of pettiness, resentment, and tribalism is humility. Do you see, Amatheodora asks, how humility is victorious even over the demons? Now, we are a long way from either Corinth or the Portiuncula, but the very same demons that were riding on so many of their backs are doing just fine in our own day and age, too. We are certainly as tribal as ever, and I'm not just talking about it being NFL playoff season and everybody lined up behind their teams. Today, I belong to Cephas or I belong to Paul seem to have been replaced with I belong to this or that political party, or I belong to this or that side of whatever culture war we're talking about today. And the most of the folks that I know, myself very much included, have an awful lot in common with that poor Franciscan brother who quietly and almost savoring it, nursed his hurt feelings until anger built up to a full boil. Yes, pettiness, resentment, and tribalism are alive and well, which is why, just as Paul and Francis experienced in ancient times, an army of demons continue to delightedly find plenty of backs on which to climb, and plenty of Christians to cause us to forget our calling to be saints. Now, here's the good news. The good news is that these demons are surprisingly weak. They lose their grip whenever we listen to others in order to learn about them, and not just in order to figure out which tribe to sort them into. They can't hold on when we decide to take that deep breath before lashing out and swallow our words instead of speaking our mind. I don't know why or when speaking our mind became a contemporary virtue, but it's not a Christian one. Those demons have no grip when we get better at making apologies and stop letting all of our old grudges fester into continued lingering angers. They literally jump off of us when we start treating the people who are hard to love as the people who are most in need of our love. And they literally hop off and run away whenever we remember that it is Christ crucified who we follow. And his way is always a way of humility. Now, ultimately, no matter how many demons may be lurking in wait, looking for a ride on our backs, we can keep them off of us by doing little more than seeing ourselves as very little. By embracing St. Bernard's four cardinal virtues, by following Amma Theodora's wise teaching, by listening to Paul in his writing and teachings to the Corinthians, but mostly by letting the same mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself all the way to the cross, and who invites us to follow him. Amen.
Amen.